Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our first reading comes to us from the book of Romans, the epistle, starting with chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Our second reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John from the third chapter, starting with verse 1. Again, you are welcome to follow along with your pew Bibles as you feel so led. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. And Jesus answered Nicodemus, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, you are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy triune God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, we give thanks for the power of your word. May they speak into these moments and into our hearts and into our minds, that today we may hear good news, that we may be encouraged and convicted to live a life in faith, following in the footsteps of your Son, that the fullness of your hope for the world shall be revealed. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So this week, right now, I'm doing a short-term Bible study called Making Sense of the Bible, and I'm very thankful for those that are participating in that and really helping us wrestle with, okay, well, this text that has been part of so many people's lives can be very confusing, and people in the same household can read the same passage and understand it in different ways, right? So how do we make sense of that? And so we began with just how did the Old Testament come into being? And the Old Testament is really the Hebrew Bible for the Jewish tradition, right? It is not old to them. It is the core of who they are, with the Torah being at the center. And the Torah is the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That is the heart of who they are, right? And then we talked about the New Testament, that at the heart of the New Testament are the Gospels, the revealing of the life of who Jesus was at the core of our understanding and faithful disciples of Jesus, right? And it took a long time to get to the point where the order of the books or the canon to be set. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of conversation. It took a lot of, it was actually in direct response to someone saying, I cannot reconcile the God of the Old Testament to who Jesus is and the readings in the New Testament. How many of you have felt that way when you've read the Old Testament and the New Testament? Be like, I can't make sense. Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Can't make sense of that, because oftentimes we read about God and we hear about violence and vengeance and genocide and just things that just kind of can't wrap our head around, right? And then we hear about Jesus, who is God incarnate in flesh, human and fully divine, who reveals the nature and character of God in a much different way. And it is that Jesus that we are called to follow and to have at the very center of our identities as Christ followers, as Christians, as disciples. And when challenged to answer, what is the greatest commandment, how does Jesus respond? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the second is this, that you shall love others as you have loved yourself, right? And we can tie this in tandem with what we know is the golden rule from Matthew. Treat others as you would want to be treated, right? That Jesus is reinterpreting what would have been these core texts and identity as Jewish, faithful Jewish persons, right? Believing in God. And so I'm just kind of laying the foundation here, right? So now we've got that, and then we have Romans, and we are kind of at the core of what's in the Epistle of Romans, that basically last week we read after this, but it said that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. By grace we are saved, right? And it's recognizing this distinction between what is of the body versus what is of the spirit, right? Because our bodies were human. I can guarantee you that there is not a single person in this space who gets it all right all the time, right? Yeah. And it's hard because we don't want to admit that. And we also know that we are able to receive the gift of the Spirit to point out those places where maybe we're not being Christ-like, or maybe we aren't embodying love in a way that God has asked of us. And so we recognize that through the coming of the Holy Spirit. But here we are in this really intimate conversation between whom? Nicodemus and Jesus. Now, it says Nicodemus was incredibly informed about the Jewish faith, right? And yet he was coming to Jesus because he had questions. And sometimes in the reading, you know, a little later it says, you are a Jewish scholar. How is it that you don't know this, right? Could be an implication or a condemnation from Jesus, or we can say, you're a Jewish scholar. How is it that you don't know what this means? It's a very different posture of questioning, right? The simple fact is Nicodemus went to Jesus to ask questions, and Jesus did not turn Nicodemus away, right? That Jesus sat with him and answered the questions and shared a truth that we hold that is so important, that you must be born from above, that you must be born again, that you are to be born by water and the Spirit. And what does that remind us of? To be born of water and the Spirit reminds us of what? Our baptisms, right? Because when we bless the water, we are seeing the tangibleness of water, but also the invocation, the epiclesis of the Holy Spirit into that, and that we are washed and imbibed and filled abundantly with the Holy Spirit. And so last week we celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Because Jesus said, I have to leave so that you can get the advocate, the Holy Sustainer, the Holy Spirit. And for the most part, that's how I always understood coming into Trinity Sunday. And I said, how does this text of Nicodemus and Jesus point to the Trinity, to the triune nature of God? And thankfully, there were other folks that were reading alongside of this with me. And it says, where is it? Verse 11, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. Did Jesus speak in the first person singular, or did he speak in the plural form? Did you pay attention to that? Yeah. We speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. Our testimony is pointing to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that is where we make this connection. So there is something about the triune God and how things have been revealed that isn't readily, easily seen and understood. Let me use words. And this week I listened to a sermon by Bishop Will Willimon. Anybody familiar with who Will Willimon is? Okay, Philip is, Beth is. So Bishop Will Willimon basically is no holds barred, tells it like it is, and preaches what is on his mind. And this week his sermon was, Jesus really messed things up for us. And pointing out why it is hard because Jesus came into the world. And putting that into tandem with reading, making sense of the Bible with my Wednesday night crew, and reflecting on the revealing of God and God's nature throughout Scripture, what kind of came to heart and mind to me is when I've thought about God in the Old Testament, we know that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, so there is this embodiment of God. We also know that God spoke to the prophets and through the prophets, right? And spoke with Moses on the mountainside to convey the law. And we also know that God had an ear to listen to where the suffering was in the world. And when God chose Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, God promised to be with them through a pillar of fire and a cloud during the day. And I thought, huh. Well, doesn't that embody two of the persons of the Trinity? The Father and the Holy Spirit? And it wasn't until Jesus came to reinterpret and to connect those understandings that could really fully reveal to us God. Let me say that again, because it was an aha moment for me, and I hope it's an aha moment for you. I truly believe, reading the Old Testament, that we see two of the triune persons of the Trinity in Old Testament. God the Creator and the Spirit. Because we hear of wisdom. They speak of spirit throughout the Old Testament. And it wasn't until Jesus came in the flesh, fully human, fully divine, God incarnate, the unmitigated Word of God, that things began to make sense. And that's the point. Jesus helps us make sense of who God is. So a lot of our scripture from Old Testament is humans making sense of what was going on in their lives. And now with Jesus on the other side of things, we are able to reimagine and understand God more clearly through all of the story of scripture because of how Jesus embodied the nature of God. So we understand God to be a God of love. We understand God to be a God of grace. We understand God to be a God of mercy, a God of justice, a God of reconciliation who desires all of creation to be reconciled unto God, to be made back into that perfect relationship that God wanted, not only for humanity, but for all of creation. And our starting point, friends, is when we are born again. When we are water washed and spirit born, that our bodies are fulfilled with that spirit, that we can then read about Jesus, study about Jesus, study about those stories of God's people and understand them in new and profound ways, that we may be different than how we were before. So it's important for us to recognize on this Triune Sunday, this Trinity Sunday, how important all three persons of the Trinity are for us. How they are the same and yet reveal to us in different ways the fullness and richness of God's story of salvation for all of creation. So I know, looking around, that many of you have been baptized. And I also know that there are some in this space who have not yet been baptized. And that is where we know that God's grace is working. That God's grace goes before us until we, you know, to that point of realizing that we need Jesus, and then continues to work in our lives that we may become more like Jesus in the world. And we remember that place of being born, water washed and spirit born, that we may become new creations, being made in the image of God to bear truth of who God is to all we come into contact with. For me, to understand the Trinity in this way opens my eyes to understand God in new and powerful ways and encourages me, and I hope encourages us as a community, to live our lives with this at the core of who we are, to not be afraid to ask questions, to understand that Jesus does not condemn us for our questions or our doubts or our insecurities. Rather, Jesus will embrace us and love us and challenge us in those questions so that our lives may bear witness of having been born again through water and the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.